keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University as we sit here in Black History Month 2020. And this is the Pastor's Roundtable for the month of February. And in the studio with me is Reverend Barry Barlow of New Asia Baptist Church in Herndon, Kentucky. And we just talked for a few to Reverend Brandon Williams of New Beginning International Ministry, who had a scheduling conflict and had to not be with us for the whole time, but we'll catch him another time. And before I get back to talking with Pastor Barlow, coming up on Wednesday, there are two judges seeking the judge seat, Division 4 Criminal Court, and those candidates will be with me Wednesday, Judge Smith and Judge Payne, at 1 at 4 and 1 at 4:30. So we'll be hearing from them as you all are making your selections in this election, during this election season, the crucial election season. And at 5 o'clock, the cure for hate. Would that be love? I wonder. The cure for hate. Tony McAck, is it McAleer?
Is that, that sounds right.
Okay. Tony McAleer.
Yeah. Love Trump's hate.
Is that?
You know, I had to. I had to.
Ba-dum-bum. But I say just love, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, takes it. Don't even use
come
his
on,
name.
Come on, Pastor. I see you. You want to jump in there, Pastor.
Don't even use his name when it comes to love, okay? Don't even use it. Don't even right. use it. Because that's, to me, the opposite. Okay, my brother, now, I don't want to start. Because, see, if I pull a lawnmower cord on you, you're ready to go.
Did you find that story I was talking about earlier?
No, I'm going to find it.
People being for sale.
But, yeah. But see, here's let me let me bring that
I got
up.
You.
And then, no, what I'm going to tell you is like, that's not the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he was referring to a story on CNN this morning about Trump offering black church people money for votes.
But led by a black pastor. Let me see, but I can't think of that guy's name.
And
but we all know him by face, you know.
And I say,
is it the short guy, Pastor Mark Burns or something like
no,
that?
No, not him. Okay. The guy with the beard and the slick hair. Let me see if I can find him.
The beard and the slick hair. Boy, that could be anybody.
But he's the one that's always with, he's been with Trump since the beginning. He's always been at the tables advocating for him no matter what has transpired. He's always had his back. He's very recognizable.
Well, now there is one reverend in North Philadelphia that Todd Johnson, and he is a supporter of Donald Trump, and he doesn't. He thinks that we're foolish to, if you're a Democrat, that you're foolish.
Daryl Scott. That's his, I think, let me make sure I got okay. Daryl Scott.
So,
now, there's nothing wrong with it. Let me just go ahead and say, because, you know, you can vote for who you vote for, but it's the fact that how he advocates no matter what that we have said that should be different. And, oh, it's not. That's not Daryl Scott. That's a different Daryl Scott. Let me see if I find
Well,
it.
We'll get.
Yeah, but good. Yeah, I'm just. Yeah,
yeah, we'll get to that because that's not the only time that he's done that, you know, with money. And, you know, handing out cash, et cetera. Anyway, and that would be, or should that not be illegal?
I think it is actually illegal if you are actually participating in the buying of votes. But I know some of this stems from, way back in the past with African Americans, and you still have, I think, some time here where people would have their fresh fries or their spaghetti suppers, and you would come out and meet these folks, and that was kind of like, you know, you coming over here to my event, and that means that you're going, that I'm going to garner your vote. So I think there's always been a way to try to corral African Americans as well as confuse and confound us.
That's correct.
When it comes to these crucial moments.
Yeah.
And I think for the first time ever in my voting history, I think you really have to be issue based when it comes to your voting. And I think you also have to realize that in many cases there's one party that's going to champion more of the things that you need versus the other party who will perhaps is trying to take away more of the things that you need. And I think those should kind of be some guiding principles. I mean, on the one hand, being a former veteran, if you help veterans, then okay, yeah, you're helping me. But when you take people, welfare away, when you take away affordable housing, now you may have helped me as a veteran, but now my community is going to be riddled with crime because you have added to the unemployment rolls. And one of the things we know about people in any space and time, people will do some pretty interesting things when it comes to just keeping myself fed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed that the biggest I grew up in the era of Jimmy Carter. So I feel like President Carter, when he did the CEDAR program, he had it right. He took a lot of little African-American children from around the nation and said, we're going to give you these jobs. I personally had the opportunity to be a water safety instructor for the last 3 years of my high school years. I didn't have to go and join my father and brothers at the factory. I didn't have to continue the rural work sometime of chopping cotton or picking tomatoes, that stuff. I was able to do something totally different and was you know, more than reasonably compensated for.
Yeah.
And that added to this perspective that I have now about how we need to work in community. And I think community should try to always support all of its people and not just segments of his people.
Right. Well, when, to me, I'm looking right now at heart issues. What you spoke about, you know, you can't love your fellow man if you're going to say, but starve to death for me at the same time. It's just those things don't go together. And it is Daryl Scott. And he's the Urban Revitalization Coalition CEO. And he has been a part of, you know, the Trump train now for quite a while. But I just, you know, you feel absolutely no love from these people. And I just, you know, I don't know what folks see or what issue is driving them. But when you see somebody who despises you because of your economic condition, or if you're not in the top 1%, you're disrespected. And when people are down and out or in a hurricane, a flood, and you don't even care, or families grieving and lose everything, and you don't even bat an eye about it, I just think it's a lot of heartless things going on, and people are beginning to turn sometimes heartless, because that's the example that they have around them all the time, is not one of compassion and caring. It's one of fear and a hate, and I don't like the way that feels. That program that you described from President Carter, similar to the Habitat for Humanity, which he, you know, the building of the homes that he started, is about a compassionate person. Mm-hmm. It's not in this current president's heart to care about anyone else other than himself, because his actions, his thoughts, words, and deeds indicate that it's him, himself, and him, period.
And I think one of the things you have to also consider with all that, we have to consider the fact that there's that old saying that, you know, if you give a person a chance, you let them talk, they'll begin to tell you who they are. Listen to them long enough, you begin to hear the message not just coming from their mouth, but the one that's coming from their heart.
Yes.
And they truly will reveal. You know, President Carter had a number of incidents over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Had the brain tumor. Then he falls down and I think injures a hip. And then he bruises his face. And he still showed up here in Nashville to be a house. Now, that to me is true carriage. That to me is real care for your neighbor.
Yes.
And I tell you, I think one of the main things that bothered me about our current president is our evangelical leaders who, I don't know, I'm starting to wonder what version of the Bible are they using.
There's no version.
Yeah, nobody.
Is no version.
But see,
there is no version.
But see, there's some saline things in that Bible.
You're the first pastor to come on this show. Hallelujah.
Glory.
You're the first pastor to say it.
Let me add to what I'm saying by saying that, you know, When you look at the book of Revelation, it says blatantly that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. So I'm concerned. If you say you're his spiritual leader, why aren't you telling him that there can be real repercussions in faith down the road if you continue this line of thing? Another thing is that we've had at least twice in the history of America where they instituted the Fugitive Slave Act. Yet the book of Deuteronomy says plainly, if a slave gets free, let him stay free.
Mm.
You know, but we go our whole 400 years dealing with slavery, and no one wants to talk about those kind of verses in the Bible. In fact, people have been very selective over the years to point you to a place to where you would hear.
Yes.
Howard Thurman says that his mother said that if I learn how to read, and I want to learn how to read because I want to learn how to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but in the meanwhile, I don't want you to read to me from Paul's narrative where it says, slave, obey your master, because she said the master would always have a Caucasian preacher come in, and that's the only thing he wanted to preach to them was from Paul, slave, obey your masters.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, when people hear about Moses and they hear about the Hebrew and the Israelites being liberated, they themselves want to be liberated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there is a big mistake being made by evangelicals who are telling a part of God's truth and not all of God's truth. Because I feel like people are missing out on the fact that when we come together and we really put our hearts and minds to do something great, wonderful things can happen. I tell people dealing with the school board all the time, I want to know what the problem is. Then I want us to sit down and collaborate on how we can help. How can we resolve this problem, and how can we help the most amount of people with that resolve?
Well, and something else too, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think about in the slave times how the Bible was altered so the slaves wouldn't have access to the kind of scripture that would encourage them to know that God hadn't forgotten or forsaken them. And all that was removed from the early Bibles to keep them from being empowered, but to keep them in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And those people probably were some of the same kind of Christians that you're talking about right now.
Well, you know, Southern Baptist actually splits over this notion. That's why you have about 400 different names that are associated with Baptists, you know, from you know, General Baptist to Southern Baptist, even a group called the Seven-Day Baptist. There's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But Southern Baptist splits over the notion that they wanted to keep slavery going. If you're familiar with that movie, Django Unchained, it's based loosely on Denmark Vesey's. Denmark Vesey was a member of Mother Emanuel Church there. And so Denmark Vesey wins a lottery and buys his freedom. And he was actually trying to liberate all of North and South Carolina. And when someone tells the masters he's killed and his whole operation that he was trying to put forth, you know, got up staged. But we still live in a time where, as a people, we are too easily divided. mm-hmm. over what ought to be some common sense notions. I mean, I don't think that any person of color mm-hmm. should be happy if someone invites you to be a part of the 1%, and then you don't have the notion that I want to pull somebody else up
right.
with me to be a part of this 1%. Amen. I don't see how we as African Americans feel that, okay, I made it into middle class, but I don't want to go get anyone else out of middle class. And I think, you know, we've gone through segregation, mm-hmm. and now and sometimes, especially like with our housing, our thinking, I think we become self-segregationists. Mm-hmm. We segregate ourselves from other African Americans mm-hmm. for sometime rather minuscule reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think we got to be conscious of the fact that mm-hmm. If we're going to stay in a risen position in America, mm-hmm. that we've got to do it collectively as a group of people.
Well, and you know, since we fundraise, do you know how hard it is to get support from folk, black, that have money in Nashville? May I just speak on behalf of how hard it is? And I'm not talking about his $50. I'm talking about to be able to bless. Not happening. Not happening. And I do not have to call no names because they all know it. They won't. They give us $100 and think that's a lot. We're glad to have it now. But, I mean, really? So I'm saying it's almost, you know, X, you know, I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, Father God, look at you, bountifully blessed beyond measure. Okay? Will not. If I was white and this was white, it would be the largest check struck you'd ever seen up in here, okay? Can I just tell you how it's been? Because I don't have anything, you know, I'm just telling the truth. It's it's tremendously hard to get money out of our community that wants everything, okay? And you know us, we want it, mm-hmm. and we want it with the quickness, or we'll go over there and get it. But not willing to support. You know, there's so many tireless advocates in Nashville and nonprofit organizations that are on the front line helping the community, but they go through the same thing that we do here, trying to get our community to give. And I know y'all do with the churches too, but I'm mm-hmm. just saying, that thought process has got to change.
Well, I think one of the things that's got to happen to us also, I think we've actually got to be taught to give. My small church, we work with a number. In fact, we work with four schools. Mm-hmm. We work with TSU, American Baptist College, the Hopkinsville College of the Bible, and Simmons College of up in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
But you got to be taught, I think, sometime to give. Somebody has poured into you. So as soon as you have, people gotta learn. Okay, now make a U-turn, and pour back into the institutions.
But if they did or didn't go to church at some point, it was poured.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't drink it, but it was there,
mm-hmm.
and the absorbing of it and the taking it in. Our community surely knows how to hold it out, mm-hmm. my hand, and give me. Mm-hmm. We got that down, and I wonder where that came from. Okay.
Well, there's Kelly Miller Smith famously said that in his time he used the term Negro, I say African Americans. He said that we will go out and get whatever we want to get, but then we will turn around and beg for our needs. And that
Which is so crazy.
And that is something that we've got to get so redirected crazy. In the mindset of African Americans.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what goes around comes out. What you put out, you get back.
I agree.
You know, folks want stuff, but they're not willing to give, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, I didn't even think you had to go to church to know that one. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just, really. So, I mean, there's some stuff just confounds, you know. And I know you know that from, you know, trying to raise offerings.
Amen.
I know y'all know.
Amen.
So, but I'm just saying, you know, we take a lot of things for granted, Rev. And for that reason, we have this person as running this country right now. Because people slept and they didn't go and they didn't think it was important. Mm-hmm. And look what that got us. Mm-hmm. Lord help us if y'all sleep through this next one. Mm-mm-mm. Have mercy. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
And I refuse to be degraded.
There's the late, great Marvin Sampson. This weekend on Blues Time in the City, we're going to the Blues Vault and hear Marvin talk about some of the things that he didn't like. His birthday is this weekend, the 16th. And we always play the absolute best in blues and southern soul. Join me, Arjuna Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from United Way of Greater Nashville. Want to keep your hard-earned money? Don't pay to have your taxes prepared when you can get it for free at a United Way free tax prep site or prepare them yourself at UnitedWayFileFree.com. You qualify if you or your household earn less than $66,000 in 2019. To find a location near you, don't wait. Visit UnitedWayFileFree.com today. Powered by United Way of Greater Nashville.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Pastor's Roundtable for the month of February. Reverend Barry Barlow of New Asia Baptist Church. That is just outside of Fort Campbell, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. In Herndon, Kentucky. And as we return back to the discussion, what time does your service start today, Rev?
Oh, I have one of those preaching brothers that's already
The Barlow preaching brothers.
Yes, I'm gonna check in a little later, but we have traditional services. We do 9:30 Sunday school and 11 o'clock worship.
Okay.
So I'll be arriving prayerfully for 11 o'clock
so
worship.
It is convenient to have a preaching brother, isn't it?
It is convenient. It is convenient.
Which one will it be today?
And this will be my oldest brother, Minister Joseph Barlow.
Okay. All right, so that was you write that down next.
I did, and you know, let me just say this, that the look of glee and just fulfillment in your face when you said that you had a brother that was going in, and I could just think about how the laymen probably feel when they know that their pastor can go and do something,
right,
and everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
You know, that's just such a blessing, by the way, just to know that, you know, pastor's not here this morning. You know, somebody's come in.
Yeah.
He somebody that pastor trusts, but, you know, we're going to be okay. So because pastor's out, you know, he's still kingdom building, because what you're doing in here this morning is still part of kingdom building.
That's correct.
Amen. Amen.
Those people hearing you, they had never heard of you.
Amen.
That's the power of radio.
That's right.
Glory Jesus.
Amen.
On air and online. And, and to have your brother, your blood, okay? That's real relief right there. You see,
Amen.
He was smiling when he said it. You know
Amen.
That, right?
Yeah. Who doesn't want to call on their own flesh and blood brother to say, hey, I need
that's
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I need you. I got you, bro.
Amen. Amen.
And one that's able and capable.
Yeah. That's right.
Because if
he
wasn't able, he wasn't going in there,
that's
right?
Right,
Rev?
That's right.
Okay.
You got to be careful. We said you got to be careful who you let watch the store.
That's true. You're right. come back and so you got it right. That's beautiful. And you all probably have that kind of relationship a lot anyway, don't you?
We do.
As brothers.
We do.
Amen. Well, that does help a lot. Now, before the break, we were talking about, you know, giving and our community, et cetera, and blah, blah, blah. And during the break, Reverend Barlow was talking about HBCUs, who are ever on their knees, always. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't even make any sense anymore. And you had something that you had said during the break about the give back portion.
Well, let me say a couple of quick real things. The thing I stated was that HBCUs collectively, 107, some are obviously faring better than others. But when you put the statistics to it, they say about only 4% uh-huh. of HBCU graduates give back. And I've worked with and I've worked with Tennessee State and the Zeta Alpha Alumni Chapter, Phi Beta Sigma, wow. and all of the D9s up there have gotten involved in this. And so we give back through two ways. We give back under the umbrella of these alumni chapters of those Divine Nine groups. And we also, the way ours is set up, our first $30 that we spend as to be a member goes directly to the National Alumni Association, which is Reddit money to be used to support some of the school's initiatives. And then we turn right around and we also give directly to an endowment. And I think definitely by next year we will start to give scholarships in the name of Phi Beta Sigma to deserving students to help that effort of trying to grow that 4% to a higher percent.
Right.
And so one of the things we've started to do with that is that we've started to change that culture. We took any brother who was willing.
Yeah.
Because we got brothers that give several thousand. We got brothers that give, you know, the $50 and $100. But what we realize is that the president has said to us that there are times when you need to have disposable funds that can be used to keep these students mm-hmm. in college. And those of us who've been blessed to come through those institutions had mm-hmm. that same struggle. And it's shocking. You go to a Tennessee State University graduation, and it probably happened in Fisk some too, and you asked. I just happen to be from a different kind of family. But most families, when you asked, are you the first to graduate in your family, right. that number is still way too large among African Americans. And so keep working on that number, but at the same time, we have to begin to tell our folks, if these institutions have helped you, you've got to go back and give to the institution. And then I would say that you also got to think in terms of when you reach that point of having disposable income, as you've indicated, there are a number of nonprofits, this radio station being one of them, that we as a people have to support.
Yeah.
We just have, this history has lagged way too long.
Too long.
For us not being supporters
right.
of our own things.
Right.
And then we want to cry and holler about people
Amen.
Have taken stuff.
Amen.
But you know, we use that old term, you got to have some skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just quit calling the skin and call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of these institutions, you got to have some cash in the game.
Yes, you do.
Or they're going to go by the wayside.
They will. People don't believe it.
And so I think that we've got to, I tell my two little daughters all the time, I joke with them and tell them, I said, now, be careful about the friends you pick. I said, I tell them, keep some money in your pocket. I said, any day you got some money in your pocket, if you have a problem, you can address that problem. I said, but when you don't have any money, you can't fix those problems. And so I think that's something that really is going to have to be taught more in the African-American family, in the African-American homes, because the problem is we keep producing generation of people who come with a hand out rather than a hand up. And my problem with that is, I do feel like we've had enough gains in America that it's time to change that mindset.
Yes.
It's time to change that mindset.
Yes.
And we've got to get our people to understand that land is gold. When these grandparents and parents leave you land, don't just sell it to the first joker coming.
That's true.
You know, you, like the pastor said earlier, you, use use those kind of gifts to get a bigger and a better gift.
Yes,
you know,
oh yes.
You know, don't lose those gifts to tax sales and those kind
right.
of things. So I think we've really got to begin to look at how we are shaping the minds of African Americans.
Yes.
One,
yes,
to that we got to always remember. And this, and another thing, this is a pet peeve of mine toward African Americans. Everybody can be proud of his and her stuff and be just feeling so good about it. But when it comes to us, they always want to make you feel bad about
yes.
whatever it is you're doing.
Yes.
I'm not mad at anybody to get accepted. I've had a few. My family, we've graduated them from the UTs.
Mm-hmm.
We've had one that graduated out of the West Point Military Academy.
Wow.
So we've had those kind of successes too. But the bulk of us, you know, we're from Lamorne Owens. We're from Clark, Atlanta. We're from TSU. You know, we're from those kinds of schools,
mm-hmm.
Those HBCUs, where I believe as an African American, you get not only the rich history
yes.
of what it means to try to strive, but you get to look in the faces of people
yes.
who went out and made that journey before you, which is real encouraging. And I just think as a people, we need to continue
yeah.
to support that.
Well, and you know, for me, the experience has been, as so many other African Americans, so many other black folk, believing that, well, it's inferior. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has thought that at one point in time. Why you want to be over there? Why you want to go over there? Or that education's not going to be as good. Or their fried chicken, or their ice water, or their apple pie is not going to be as good as it would be on West End. And that whole paradigm plays out in Nashville all the time. If you simply look at the gifts given by our community and look at the gifts given to mainstream community, at the differences in the institutions, clearly, there's a whole lot of giving going on that end.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot mm-hmm. of giving going on.
Mm-hmm.
And a trickle here. And people have said, I've heard this said many a time, well, can't trust black folk. You know, we got this thing in our head that if I give you a dime, I can't trust you with it. I got to watch you. And you think that that you can trust somebody white with a dime? You got to watch them too. I mean, I don't believe that, and that's that old mentality, slave mentality that was inbred into us to keep us in submission during the slavery time, and the inability to have trust in one another has continued generation after generation, and we still don't have trust when we give or donate. How do you know when you buy groceries from Kroger's that they washed and cleaned and did what they said? How do you know mm-hmm. that? You mm-hmm. don't. You got to trust, or you won't be in there buying them in the first place. You'll be growing them yourself. So, I mean, we have put so many, so much trust in, and sometimes misplaced our trust and been made a fool by that.
You're making me think of two things, but I also want to say that where you and I are sitting right now on this historic Fisk University campus, Fisk University is currently number 6 in the rankings among the 107 HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that automatically, what folk need to understand is if they are number 6 among HBCUs, then there's a lot of, I call them, PWIs, predominantly white institutions, that they have a higher ranking than.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people who want to disparage these schools, you need to realize these schools are not just historic. These schools continue to have success mainly because of the foundation they've built up the
That's
road.
True.
Up the road at Tennessee State University, you know, it produces Oprah Winfrey, the first black female billionaire. You should never let anyone try to diminish that fact. Meharry Medical College still puts out the highest percentage of black dentists in the nation.
Yeah.
Still does, since its conception.
Right.
So these are not just way back when granddaddy and grandmama stats.
Mm-hmm.
These are current things that are happening right now. When and I won't call this young man name, but American Baptist College last year, I had a young man who I know is not 40 years old, but was selected to be the pastor of a major black church there in Huntsville, Alabama. Mm-hmm. This young man will die a millionaire just from using the gift that God gave him, mm-hmm. because he went to this little small American Baptist College, and mm-hmm. that was the connection to this church there in Huntsville, Alabama. So what I'm saying to you that I am a proponent of what I've seen and what I've lived. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen and what I've lived is that there is a lot of energy around these HBCUs, because people who have invested in them, yes. and had them to turn around and pour into them, mm-hmm. have reaped the fruits and the benefits. What we got to get people to understand now, if somebody helped nurture your roots to you have now become mm-hmm. a tree and you mm-hmm. branching, now you got to let us pick back off of your fruit. And to me, to make it plainly, now that you've got some extra, bring some of that extra
right
back to these educational mamas,
yes.
that help you become what you are.
Yeah. Well, and I will tell you this. I realize this. Lord, it's probably been about 9-10 years ago here that we have student interns and volunteers mm-hmm. that come by the station and stuff. I noticed a trend with them that they would be hungry. Okay. And I'm like, it didn't make sense to me. So I used to keep cans in my closet in there. And because some of the students, you know, I'd interact with them. I'd say, you know, what's up? How was your day and all that? And, you know, why are you down and out? What's going on? And I'm telling you, during that particular time period, there were so many of them that hadn't had a meal, didn't have the money to go pay for this or that. And that really vexed me. And I had talk with, I think, St. Anselm across the street, Episcopal.
That's correct.
John Eanes Church. Mm-hmm. And we were going to set up a food bank for them. Because I'm like, the kids are here trying to get an education. They can't concentrate because they're so hungry. I mean, you know, and this was before it became popular to talk about it. Mm. And, you know, just the thought that they can't eat, not just can the little kids not eat, but the college kids, they wasn't even able to some degree to eat because they didn't have the money. And, you know, when you're that age and you don't have it, mm-hmm. and you got to study for whatever, it's hard. Let alone us grown folks, when we don't have it and we expect to work for days on end and not get nothing to eat, that's going to dramatically change you. Dramatically change your disposition
and health. Because yeah. there were a number of them that couldn't go to the doctor.
Right.
That was yeah. just, you
so
know.
This stuff is more serious than, you know, than people are even acknowledging and considering. You know, the education is one thing, but they're hungry. So while you're addressing needs, I hate to put that on your list, but there's some that just could use a meal.
And I think that's something that, again, that we need to collectively begin to, yeah. to give to share with, you know. And maybe that's something that we can put out. And let me just say that on tomorrow night over at Progressive Baptist mm-hmm. Church, there's going to be a meeting of pastors across denominational lines to begin to talk about what we can do about health and health disparities
yeah.
Among African Americans.
Amen.
So we're pulling together. My brother, Bishop C.C. Barlow, is pulling together a group of men and women all around the county so we can begin to talk about this and then get people involved in those studies so that we can get these some of these medicines tailored to our DNA
yeah.
and not just to the other DNA and
right.
oh, you take it.
Well, I hope that Pastor Smith from Capitol Hill is there.
Okay.
And I can't tell him what to do. But I do know that some years back when the Tennessee Department of Health, Office of Minority Health, 20 years ago, was working with the Community of Faith, because I was working with them on these projects. And his church was one here in Nashville who participated in the study on the Community of Faith and health disparities. And he certainly should be in the discussion because, you know, he's been, and this was when he was in Knoxville. At his church in Knoxville, because it was a regional study. And we went to churches in Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, and Memphis, and Jackson, and met with the Community of Faith on these issues. And what a lot of what came out of that was stop frying everything.
Mm.
Okay. What about baked chicken? All of a sudden, everybody was doing baked chicken. That's what came out of that, some of that research. And it was the type of meals that the church was preparing for the congregants and how healthy the pastor was. And does the church have a health ministry? Do they have any type of fitness? I mean, it was just a series that each of these pastors from these regions came to the table to discuss the issue. And the number one thing was diabetes.
Mm.
Legs cut off, feet cut off, wheelchair, crutches. It was across the board from Mountain City to Memphis, churches. They all said, this is 20 years ago. So, and his was one, and he was there. But I just thought of that when you said that this is what your brother's getting ready to do. Because there's a thick volume of research that he can get from Dr. Charles Williams at the University of Memphis that conducted the research. And he's anthropologist and the foremost researcher on African American communities. He can share this with your brother, and I'm going to contact him about this, because this is stuff that the churches have already said, but somebody got to keep them going on
And that's our thing.
They can continuity. Know it, and then 20 years later, right. Oh, that's right, we're supposed to be doing that. So is that what he's going to do, is just keep the
that's the hope, and he's working with Mahari, and that's the hope, to just get people to, again, you know, we've woke you up before, let's wake you up again, because we gotta stay on this.
Yeah, you have to. Because, I mean, it's amazing, why do we keep reinventing the wheel when the wheel's done, okay? So just take the dust off the spokes and get the job done. Because the stuff is already there. It's available, it's there. And some churches started to change their menus and their meal functions. They started having walk-in classes and various things, but it started from somewhere. And so where are we since then? And please ask him to ask that question. Where have we come since the days when y'all first started baking chicken instead of having fried? Or some churches have them both. To give you an option.
Even in my church, that's what we do. We do both.
Yeah, give you an option. I really, I'm glad to hear you all saying that, because it's all connected. It totally is. Anyway, we need to take a time out today. We have talked about just a lot, but that's how we do it. Anyway, 615-329-8810, if you have an opinion or thought. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net, and put the life back in life insurance. WFSK reminds you that your vote is your voice. Let your voice be heard in the upcoming primary. Voters have 11 days this month, including two Saturdays, to cast their ballots early in the presidential preference primary and county primary election. Early voting begins at Howard Office Building on Wednesday, February 12th, and at 10 additional locations on Wednesday, February 19th. Voting ends at all locations on Tuesday, February 25th. No voting will occur on February 17th in observance of President's Day. Voters must present a photo ID issued by the federal or Tennessee state government. And remember, the presidential preference primary and county primary election is on Tuesday, March 3rd. And don't forget, your vote is definitely your voice. Support for WFSK comes from TPAC, presenting world-renowned Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater in two new programs featuring three Nashville premieres and Ailey's joyful classic, Revelations, closing each performance. Coming to TPAC February 28th and 29th. Tickets available at TPAC.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. We just, you know, during passes around till we be talking about everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably not what you expected, was it?
Well,
really?
It's okay.
Okay.
I always tell people I got nothing. Now, you're like this, Brother Exum. Mm-hmm. I always tell people I got more talk than Trump got money.
Oh, Lord.
I have more talk than comedians got funny. So let's talk.
Well, if you got more talk than Bloomberg has money, that's his money is in a whole other category.
That's true. That's true.
So that would be a lot of talking.
All right.
Which is really what we designed these for. You know, our community needs to have an opportunity to hear from a variety of people mm-hmm. that they may not otherwise hear from. Because, for example, nobody's going to hear you on the radio unless you spend some money. Right?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen to that.
So I'm just saying, you know as well as I do, airtime costs.
It costs.
Everybody. Mm. Everybody.
Mm, I agree.
Yeah. So this is a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Now, are you going to vote?
I'm going to early vote.
Good for you, Reverend Barlow. Good for you. And I know your family don't mess around. Y'all at the polls.
That's
I know.
Right. That's right.
How important and significant is it for you as the head of your church to talk about, you know, your citizenry and the right to vote?
Well, it is extremely important. You know, I am one of those persons that was born in 1962. A lot of things that happened, like Brown versus the Board of Pecan 54, I'm one of those group of children that stuff was worked out on. My first 4 years of school was actually segregated. Mm-hmm. I lived in a community where you couldn't hardly walk to the store because, you know, somebody's trying to sick the dog on you.
Right.
So I caught the tail end of that stuff. I never will forget, as a third grader, I was taken to what had been the white elementary school, and mm-hmm. people are throwing rocks at you, they're hitting you, and they're spitting at you, all this mm-hmm. stuff. I endured some of that stuff. Not as great as some, but enough to make me realize that you don't play around with something as crucial as voting.
Mm-mm.
And something we got to start telling our young people also, they got to quit messing themselves up mm-hmm. criminally to the point to where they cannot participate in this process. Because a lot of our kids, by the time they are 14 to 16,
mm-hmm.
they have enough criminal records where they can't be admitted to any mm-hmm. of our armed forces, mm-hmm. as well as they're going to lose what many people died for, this precious right to vote. So I know people say, oh, man, you got so many fights going on. Well, you know, if you've been living any length of time, you by now you should know that life Amen. Can be a little complex.
Yes.
There's a story of the Zulu king, Shaka Zulu, mm-hmm. who fought battles by fighting on four fronts at the same time. And history records that he was the only army with spears and bows and arrows to beat a conventional army that had at least the cannons and the, you know, the musket ball weapons of that day, and they defeated them. And so when I think about that, I think about the fact that if he can do that, and that's a part of our history, then don't worry about how many fronts we fighting on. Let's just keep fighting till we get as many victories as we can.
Amen, amen. And less alone, you will never be able to work in that field. You know, that's one of the problems that the Metro Police Department has had with their recruiting. Is they can't recruit. There's not enough African Americans on the forces, you know, in law enforcement.
Right.
Because they're, you know, a folk got a record. Some people have a record because of laws like stop and frisk.
True.
And I was just reading the other day that I think it was somewhere near 66,000 people in L.A. or California or somewhere will be, their record will be wiped clean because, you know, the change in stance on that and they're finally admitting to it and getting their voting rights back. That is so independent.
It is.
Makes a person feel very much a part of the country. So when you get your rights back, use them.
Use them.
Please.
And please go out and learn and don't just let somebody feed you on who is the best candidate. You need to go out and learn, do your homework, and know whose candidate is
going
to help you with those issues.
Amen. Because if you don't, you will be sitting somewhere completely broken up and tore up by, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I had a chance and I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not good. So having said that, early voting continues. You can't vote tomorrow because it is closed. They closed for President's Day. But bright and early Tuesday morning from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then starting Wednesday, February 19th through Tuesday the 25th, do not miss your opportunity to go by any of these libraries around that region. And it's more than a dozen that you can do your early voting for your presidential preference primary and county primary election. There are also some other important seats on that on our ballot here as well. So do make a difference both locally and nationally by exercising your right to vote. And I want, and in my mind, I think while we still have it. That always comes into my head because I'm deeply concerned about the purge that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And the things that happen with trying to keep communities of color, not just black, but the other communities of color, from the polls. Dirty tricks. This particular year, I anticipate more dirty tricks and foolishness than I have seen in many, many years. So you're preparing, educating as a member of the community of faith, you're educating your congregation about the significance.
Not only educating them about the significance of it, but I'm also participating in, I will be personally doing voters registrations.
Okay.
Something I've not always participated in solely because of the fact that we've got to get people informed that as soon as we are made aware of what it takes. As soon as you give us a new hurdle to jump over,
okay,
we've got to jump that hurdle as fast and as soon as possible,
okay,
because we've got to increase. Last year, the last voting cycle, Tennessee ranked 50 in the nation.
That's shameful.
Out of voting.
That's shameful.
And we've got to fix that. You know, we've got to get our urban centers like Memphis and Nashville, Chattanooga. The African American presence there in Knoxville. We've got to get these folks back voting in those record numbers of the 60s and like the 2008 elections. We've got to get that energy back because that's the only way that we're going to, one, be able to at least turn our, hopefully turn the state back blue, but maybe at least turn it purple.
Yeah.
And without doing that, you don't have a chance. Those numbers have got to come up.
If you leave Davidson or Shelby, you up in Redland, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. And it the way you're treated, people don't understand that are not a person of color. That these folks ain't happy to see you.
At some places where they truly
are not happy mm-hmm. to see us. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, because some of these counties around Davidson, mm-hmm. you don't feel very comfortable. And that is shameful in 2020. So this is important. Very, very important. Rev, your plate is just all ends. This is a busy brother, X. I'm amazed
yes, he
got your time.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's got a lot going on.
I've been trying to get him on for over a year. So that's how busy he's been.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at Jesus. Look at you, Lord.
Amen.
Black history. I done made some black history up here with you. Yeah.
But he has never forgotten about the show.
Oh.
He'll always remind me. I'm going to be there soon.
You're so good.
Well, it's just a blessing to be asked to share, you know, and a platform like this. And you mentioned that black history. I did make a little history in this town back in 2016 when I was elected to be the first African-American male to be the president of the Metro Nashville Public Schools Parent Advisory Council, which I've had the pleasure of being the president of for a number of years. I was selected by Dr. Joseph to serve on his transition team. I currently serve on the district STEAM Advisory Council, where we are intentionally bringing more science, technology, engineering, arts, and math to our schools.
So education's at the very center of your core, is it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just believe that it's still, for many African Americans, it's our way up. It's our way out.
Amen.
And so that's one place where I try to walk it like I talk it.
Yeah.
I really believe in getting in there and helping. And I've been blessed to see, you know, some of this transformation. I mean, people can say what they want to about Metro schools, but if you look around the nation, there's a lot of things going on that's just not happening in other places.
Right.
When MTA says we're going to allow any 5th through 12th grader to ride the city bus for free, so that you break down this barrier of school choice. If my school right across from my house is not working as well as I want to, I can get on this bus and ride somewhere else and find one that's working a little better for me. There's a lot of cities that don't have that. When you look at our 12th grade education, where we have these various academies, where NES has a Lion Pole Academy, where you're training young people to walk right out of high school into a well-paid job. Hillwood has an EMT academy. If you pass an EMT, once you get an EMT license, you're good to work in all 50 states.
Yeah.
See, and so those are things that we have going on, not to mention that, you know, you have Human Fog, that's a top 50 school in the nation. MLK that always remains in the top 200 or so in the nation. And our early college program, where kids are being able to go to school, get a high school diploma and an associate's degree at the same time. So there's a lot to be excited about around school choice in Metro Nashville, Davidson County.
Well, it is, but you know what always gets the headlines? The negative stuff. So thank you for sharing that, because that's stuff that most people are not aware of.
And one last big stat is that at the start of school this year, we had 37 schools that were that had been certified by the state to be reward schools. That was the largest number in the history. You know, we've been a metropolitan 50-some years or so.
Right.
That's the largest number, and that's larger than some school district's whole district.
Yes.
And that, too, you know, that was some of the remaining of Dr. Joseph's work. So Dr. Battle currently has her hand full with trying to, you know, build upon those building blocks and that legacy. And we certainly need to get in there. And I'm going to say, you know, support these schools.
Amen.
Support your director of schools. Support these schools. And there's a number of ways to do that. And again, when you know, I'm a person that believes that if you see something that needs fixing, if you have the means and the resources, just ask somebody to let you fix it and keep moving.
Amen. And be a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Be a blessing. I dare you.
Amen.
Just this week, just be one and see it. Boom, something good. You be like, amen. Where did that fall from? Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Won't he do it?
He will do it.
I mean, for real.
He will do it.
That's why I like to do stuff for people.
All right.
Because right. I like the residuals.
That's it.
Ooh, look at you, Lord, showing out up in there. Now, Reverend Barlow, I need you to two things as we close up shop. Tell everybody where the church is, how to get there, what time.
Okay.
And then we're going to ask you to close us up in a word of prayer.
All right. Okay. All right. So New Asia Baptist Church, you would take I-24 west of Nashville going toward Clarksville. You would get off on exit 86 and make a left. And although it's out in the rural, your GPS will work, and you will be guided by your wonderful little device on your phone or the one in your car. It'll take you about 8 miles out into the country. And I always tell people, when you come there and you make that first right, it might be the best right you made all day. So you can find us at 2851 Darnell Road in Herndon, Kentucky.
Okay.
Amen.
And what are you going to preach on today?
Well, no, the brother's preaching today.
Oh, today.
Yeah, I'll be back next Sunday. But last Sunday I kind of took a theme than a regular traditional topic. And I asked the question of what it feels like when it seems like that God is blessing your enemies. Wow. Because I know we as a people, we struggle. You know, we struggle with, you know, Lord, I did what I supposed to, but this guy won't give me a job.
Lord,
I have a degree.
That's a sermon. That's a sermon right there.
Yeah, oh, it was good. It was
that's
good.
That's a sermon.
We had a good time.
Yes, Lord. Because people are perplexed by that all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. Don't even make no sense. Lord, you know how? Ooh,
yeah.
I'm singing your song.
Yeah, but we have to just realize that, ooh. You know. God is true to his word.
Yes.
He's on that journey with you.
Yes, he
is. And I'm a person that believes that right will get his chance.
Amen.
To win.
Amen.
It seems it's a little longer journey most times, but it will get his chance to win. It wasn't easy.
That would be the road less traveled now,
to become the driver of the bus.
Yeah.
From being the one who was told to go to the back of the bus. Mm-hmm. It took a little time. Mm. You know, so it felt like the enemy was winning, but God had that victory.
Yes, he did.
For us.
Yes, he did. And ended up blessing more people than folks had any idea.
Amen.
And we still living on that blessing today. So y'all ride up in the front of the bus this month, would
Amen.
You?
Amen.
And don't be going straight to the back.
I like that.
Unnecessary.
I like that.
Because you know what we do? We mm-hmm. go straight. Like, mm-hmm. why? Sit up front. Mm-hmm. Look out the big window.
Somebody went through something.
Yes. Yes. I sit in the front. Wherever I'm going to, you know,
Amen.
I want to see what's going on. You know, I want to see that this is, you know, the view from up here.
Amen.
That everybody had to have back in those days. Now we can share it and thank God for it. So, Rev, if you can close us up here with that word of prayer, I would greatly appreciate it.
All right. Amen. Let us pray. So, Father God, we come to you right now in the matchless name of Jesus. And, Lord, we're asking you first and foremost, Father, we're asking you that those who find that they have some disposable income in 2020, Lord, we're asking you to put on their mind WFSK.
Mm-hmm.
And, Father, we're asking you to cause folks to pour into
Amen.
This wonderful opportunity
Glory.
that brings current topics and issues to our people, to encourage them, to uplift them, and then to just give them a platform with which to talk about
yeah.
the work and as well as the successes that we are having
Amen.
As a people. So, Lord, we're asking you to bless them in this season. And, Lord, we're asking you to do that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then, Lord, we want to ask you to just be with all of our elected officials.
Please,
cause them to realize that they have been elected to serve a people and not just to become self-serving of themselves.
Yeah.
And, Father, we're asking you to keep that fresh on each and every one of their minds. And then, Father, we want to ask you to just continue to bless our city,
yes.
to bless our county, to
oh,
bless
yes.
our state. Father, even bless our nation. And, Father, just cause people to once again to want to love right and to do right.
Mm-hmm.
And, Father, for those who have abandoned right, we ask you to give us the victory,
yes.
Father, that we would be able to claim it in your name. And, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come and share this morning. And I ask you, Lord, to just put it on people's hearts and minds to go out to a church service today. And, Lord, we're asking you to feed them from wherever they visit. And we ask you, Lord, to just continue to bless each and every one of us in this place, in this experiment called life, in this place called America, from the White House down to our houses. Yes, and we ask you to do it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, y'all receiving that now. You hear? Reverend Barlow, thank you so much.
Amen.
You have been a total blessing, Reverend Barry Barlow of New Asia Baptist Church in Herndon, Kentucky.
Amen.
I'm going to leave you all with Ecclesiastes 3:17. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, since there is a time for every activity and every deed. There's a time for
everything.
Don't forget, Nashville, you all have the very best of the best, and you know that I love you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
88.1 WFSK FM, Fisk University, Nashville.